So I just want to start out by saying that in this podcast, there'll be spoilers from The Vampire Diaries, Legacies, and the originals. That being said, don't forget to check out my links in the bio. I have a Patreon and other ways that you can either donate or contribute and be a part of my podcast. I'm always looking for diehard fans to be a part of my podcast. So if you guys are interested, you can go ahead and check out my Patreon. There are opportunities for that. If you guys are listening on a platform where you can comment, go ahead and let me know what your favorite season is below or your favorite scene in season two, since this is a season two podcast. All right, we're going to get started. Here we go.
So this is what you do the first time we're back together as a family, Vampire Book Club.
Warning, this podcast, Vampire Book Club, will contain spoilers from The Vampire Diaries, The Originals, and Legacies. Hey everyone, welcome to my podcast, Vampire Book Club, a TVDU podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing season two of The Vampire Diaries. I have two guests with me. I have my friend Erin.
Hello.
And my friend Janiqua.
Always.
So we actually already filmed this and somebody's audio got cut out, so we're redoing it again, and I appreciate you guys so much for being here and doing this for the second time.
Anything for you.
Definitely.
So, what did you guys think of this season, and what were some of your favorite scenes?
I would say the Delana kiss was the most shocking thing for me on this season.
Or the most exciting scene.
I disagree. It's not Stefan.
I was shocked. I was actually shocked. I am a Delana fan. However, I was also shocked because earlier in the season, she says, I can't believe you. I don't think that it's weird that you kissed me back. I thought it was weird that you think you would kiss me. It's always going to be Stefan. And then she's kissing Damon. Pity death kiss or not.
Yeah.
She a lying ass hoe.
She doesn't know what she wants.
I mean, no, she does not, but I just...
Her pants talk for her.
I just think looking at the chemistry between her and both of them, her and Damon, just they just have this pull. They have a lot more, I don't know, like, Damon and me, they just make sense.
They were dating in real life, so that's where the chemistry comes from. Because her and Stefan also have really great chemistry, her and Paul Wesley. And that's why, like, I ship Catherine and Stefan so much, because they also go very well together. But their relationship kind
of their
took off in real life. Sense.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about the, like, chemistry between the actors playing them. I'm talking about the characters, and I guess I have that, if it's a bad guy, he needs a good girl, and if it's a bad girl, she needs a good guy. I feel like Elena and Stefan both being, like, those moral good people, they just, for me, it doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I mean, I don't know. Is that true all across the board for you?
I think so.
Even like Leo and Piper?
I mean, we're talking about two totally different TV shows there, Michaela.
Well, I just meant like all across the board, bad boy, girl. Like no villains can date other villains and no good girls can date good people. That's what I meant.
Like, I guess it depends on what TV show we're talking about, what kind of a world that we're in. But
okay.
See, like Matt, like even Matt and Caroline, like it was okay. Like, you know, it didn't like piss me off. But her and Klaus, or even her and Tyler, make a lot more sense, even if Tyler's not that like super bad guy, he was kind of a dick, so it kind of, I think that's why I enjoyed their relationship.
I wouldn't say Caroline's good though. She like
calls herself a good vampire, but I don't know if she's actually good.
No, I wouldn't. Can you be a good vampire?
No, probably not.
She's not even a vampire until this season, so that's a big thing that happens in season two. I really like that.
I thought Tyler would die earlier.
You thought what?
I thought Tyler would die. I for some reason didn't see his character, because he's like that traditional like jock, like douchebag, and they usually get killed pretty early off. So I was surprised to see him stick around for so long.
I was glad he did, though, because they definitely had that whole werewolf thing coming. They were planning it earlier than I realized when I did rewatches.
Oh.
It was in the first season they start making, like, full moon jokes.
Yeah, and then even you can tell when there's a full moon, like, when he gets pissed off and he's, like, being really angry and then it pans out to the moon, it kind of hints at what's going on.
Yeah, I didn't notice that for a while. And then I did one day. But I really like how I like that Caroline becomes a vampire. I think she's way better as a vampire.
Oh, yeah. I love her. I definitely like her a lot more now that she's a vampire.
Oh, definitely.
And I don't know if it's because she's a vampire or this when she realizes things are happening. Like, this is when she realizes I have to be a good person to have good people back to me.
Yeah, because I feel like in season one, she didn't have any accountability for the way she talked to people or treated people, and she very was just thinking about her all the time. But when she became a vampire, she kind of had to take control of her feelings and really pay attention to the way she acted, the things she said. And now that she was a vampire, I think she really just doesn't want to drive anyone away or be alone, because she knows, hey, I'm gonna live for hundreds of years.
And I also think it comes from a place of like protection, because she knows that her emotions are heightened, as Stefan reminds everybody in Vampire 101 class, that your emotions are heightened and you need to have self-control. And I think that's a really big theme for her, because she could kill Matt and she can kill the people she cares about now.
Yeah, I think that was one of the parts that kind of where I started to like her character a little bit more, when she ended up, you know, hurting Matt. And then she, you know, pretty much came in to the grill and started acting like a jealous bitch so that he would break up with her. And then you saw after he left and you're like, oh, that was, you know, to protect him. And it was kind of sad and sweet all at the same time.
Yeah, totally.
But if we're going to talk about werewolves and like just like hot men, like I still have to always go back to I just can't get over him. And he just glistens like the sun.
Yeah, Mason Lockwood is sexy.
Yeah, he's hot.
So very sexy.
I love the scene where, like, he's half naked and, like, dirty and just gross and hot.
Yeah, first man ever with a gap that I have loved. He just does it for me.
Yeah, no, and again, they killed him with... They really enjoy killing these people way too soon.
I wonder if they were like, if like what happened. I need to read the books, because I always wonder like if this happened in the book or if that happened in the book. And I like, is he even in the book? I have no idea.
Yeah, no, I want to read the books. I added them to my Goodreads list, but I don't know what books are which. I don't know which ones are like the ones. What order they go in, like there's so many like Vampire Diaries ones.
I do have the first one, but I don't know the rest of the order. There is a lot.
There's so much.
The author was busy.
Yeah.
I wonder, so has the books in it? Is she still, she's not still coming out with more?
No, she started writing these in 1992.
What? It's that old?
Yeah.
Dang. Oh, and she's only 58.
There's 12 books. Well, in the 90s, she would have been like 30. or like 20.
How amazing to get your books published that year, or not only published, but to get a TV show out of it.
Yeah, the TV show came way later, but they actually changed it a lot. I don't know if I would be offended. I don't know if I could let somebody else write my story for a TV show, because I wouldn't, there's so many things I wouldn't want to cut.
Yeah, but
or like change.
But I think, you know, a lot of times if you like the book just doesn't translate well to the TV show. You know what I mean? Like, you do have to change things. Like, there's one, sometimes reading in the book is more enjoyable just because there's so much more backstory and detail that you can put into a book than a TV show. But when you're doing a TV show, especially like you really want to get people hooked on the show immediately so it gets, you know, picked up more, you kind of have to have, you know, these hot people, and you need to, you know, make people wanting to come back for more.
Yeah, see, I would want to be, I just couldn't. I have control issues.
If you're in a book, you know, you'll have that slow leading up to all these other things and small hints, and you just kind of can't do that in a TV show.
I see what you're saying, but it was, they changed like everything from like the beginning. It was big, drastic changes. Like, none of the characters even look like they do in the book. A lot of them don't, at least.
And see, so you have the first book, right? So the girl,
I haven't read it though, all the way.
No, but just the cover, the girl on the cover of the book, she reminds me of Quinn from Glee. And so every time I tried to start reading it, I would think of Quinn instead of Elena.
I can see that. So that's funny.
It would always throw me.
Well, see, I'm really horrible like that when I'm reading a book, is no matter how they describe the character, I just always have this female me character and this male me character like in my head. Like, the female main character can be a platinum blonde and I'm still seeing her as a brunette with like long hair, no matter what.
Yeah, that doesn't happen for me. I like no. See them how they're described.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I just couldn't get down with Elena being blonde.
Yeah, it's weird.
She doesn't seem it. The character seems to fit a brunette, and like I couldn't even imagine. I don't know what color hair Catherine has in the book, but I couldn't imagine Catherine being anything other than a brunette, because it's like more dark and brooding.
So Catherine blonde. And Elena, they're not actually doppelgangers in the book. They're just people who have like similar traits.
Oh. Well then, yes, that is a drastic change.
And who Stefan was reminded of, but they're not like doppelgangers.
But which is better, a doppelganger? Like, which?
I'm honestly, my favorite part of the show is the fact that Nina Dobrev plays these characters so differently. I think that does it. But when I think of Catherine and I think of Elena, I don't think of both. Like, I don't think of both of them.
Right. Yeah.
Like, being played by her.
Yep.
And being played by Nina.
But yeah, I do like that when you look at the screen, like when she's acting, you can tell when she's obviously Catherine versus when she's obviously Elena. But I don't know. Now I'm kind of interested in reading the book, considering doppelganger is not a thing there, and it's more just like personality traits.
I don't know why, but whenever I do okay, I really want more about it myself. I might read it. If you guys want to do a book club, we can actually, I don't know why I named I shouldn't have named this podcast.
I'm down for a book club. I've been trying to get you to read
books. I know you are. She reads so much.
I love I've gotten into audiobooks. I wonder, they probably have it on audio.
Oh, I love audiobooks.
I used to read.
They're just
I do everything before it's cool.
There are just some books that need to be heard on the audiobook. If you're looking, I don't know if you've listened to it yet, but Butcher and Blackbird was freaking hilarious. It was so freaking good. You need to listen to the audiobook.
It's a you might be into it because it's a, like a murder. It's a serial killer book.
They're like
that. Isn't that kind of Blackbird?
Yeah. Horror.
So, yes. So they're both. So both the male and the female, they're serial killers who kill other serial killers, and it's freaking hilarious. It's so funny. It was so good. I was laughing my ass off.
Oh, it was very Dextery.
Yeah, and it has some spice too. So you know.
Yes, I will say there's nothing like listening to a good sex scene on audiobook. Walking into work,
I hate their voice. I can't get into it.
What?
I hate the way they talk.
Oh my god!
So I don't know. It. I haven't read a book. I just like to read the book. Like I haven't read in a long time since I had kids. Honestly, like 12 years. But I used to read all the time, and I just really prefer reading the book and having the physical book in my hand.
I do too, but it's an expensive hobby.
Not if you go to the library.
No,
true. But today it's like I'm in the car so much more. Like me trying to sit down and read at home is like almost impossible versus like me on the way to work. I can just listen to it while I'm.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I see that. That's how I've always been with TV shows. I never actually watch TV shows. I listen. And like I never really binge TV. I just read books. And now I like switch. Now the rest of the world has done what I'm doing. And I'm like back to what
I used to binge is. And just be able to TV so much. Now I barely watch TV. And I just read all the time. I think I've read like 35 books since May. I'm averaging
That's crazy. 12
books a month.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, it's fun.
And the books are on audio, and they're in order. So, like, they tell you book one, book two.
So okay, then, I'll probably, I'm going to do that.
So, back to...
Season two.
So, we see, like, Carolyn... Yeah, season two, we see Carolyn turn into a vampire. And then they're, like, talking about... We see how, first of all, the way that Catherine turns her. Damon gives her blood to heal her, to like get him with good graces. And we see Catherine kissing Damon at the end of the last episode and like going in the house. And then she cuts off John's fingers with the ring and stabs him so he'll die. Elena walks in and is like, oh no. And
Elena's like, oh no.
Yeah. At first, when they were on the porch, I had no idea that was Catherine even when they kissed. Until her aunt was like, Elena, come inside. And I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, oh, shit, that's not.
She just got invited in. And then they're at the hospital in, like, season two. And they're like, Damon's like, how do you not know what I'm talking about? We have to talk about what happened. And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? And then Jenna comes in and Jenna's like telling like, I told you I had to do that before I left on the porch. And then he figures it out. Oh shit. I see what's going on here. It's Catherine.
So, well, I think one of the scenes that I really loved is when they're in the, whosever party or mansion they were at. And she goes to Caroline. She's like, where are they? And Catherine like, drags her upstairs, and Caroline's like, no, don't make me do this. And then she enters into the room, and then she starts like laughing through her tears. And she's like, oh my god, I did it. I actually did it.
I like that too. And then they start killing her, and Catherine is just like a mastermind from every. I love her. She's one of my faves. She just was like, oh. Let me link myself to Elena and Trace in case these motherfuckers try anything crazy.
Smartest girl ever.
And she doesn't even say anything the whole time. She just like waits it out. Like, how does you kill me? The bitch dies too. You ain't gonna know.
She has the patience of a saint. I don't know how Catherine has waited for so many years for all of her plans to come to fruition. Like, she just. She can literally sit back and wait. Couldn't be me. I don't have patience.
Not that much pacing. It's not 500 years worth.
If I was a vampire, I'd just be like, all right, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to kill you now. I'm just going to go ahead and, like, no. Even if I live forever, I'm still going to do it now.
And then, like, in episode two, then we see, like, at the end of the first episode, I think, like, fucking Damon, I mean, Damon is, like, so upset because, like, he goes and hooks up with Catherine, and then he's in Elena's room all drunk and shit. And he's just, like, that's when the scene happens where she's, like, it's always Stefan, and then all of a sudden he just, like, snaps. He's, like, oh, you want to be a vampire? And just, like, goes and snaps Jeremy's neck, not even knowing that he's wearing the ring. And then she dates him. And that, I just can't get past that. Like, I do, because I ship them. But it bothers me on a serious level.
I think when you go from that moment to the next, yeah. But all those in-between moments where it was like, he was there. He, you know, he just, even though he lashed out, you know, he's always there for her. He just is. I'm sorry, I'll never hate him.
Okay, but you killed my brother.
I mean, he is always there for her, but like, he also is like, just
okay. I don't know. But if the tables were turned, so say like Elena killed Stefan, would Damon then turn around and date Elena? No.
Yeah,
probably.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I can't answer this one because that's a really, like, maybe. Maybe not.
Elena has no loyalty to her own family.
He loves his mother. And she acts like she does. And that's why Elijah lets her go see Jenna. And he's like, oh, baby. Always and forever.
It's always a scam. It's just a scam.
I actually could see Elijah and Elena together. A little bit until I see Elijah with Haley.
Yeah, no, he works good with Haley because again, Elijah, I mean, even though he's not like good, he's the most moral out of all of the originals. He's like got that like freaking I'm so good and he has moral, but he's also a bad boy. He's just like, I don't know. He's the best of both worlds. If you're, like, into the bad boy, but also the good boy, he's, like, the best of both worlds.
He comes in, we see him first, the first scene he's in, he's just, like, not the first scene, but the first episode he's in, he just, like, cuts off somebody's head for running because you tried to protect an innocent girl who was trying to save her own life and not die in a sacrifice for his brother.
You know what? I'm surprised that Stefan and Elijah don't have a close relationship considering they have more in common, I would think. Because Elijah has...
Well, because they don't have history.
They don't have what?
History, like Klaus and Stefan.
But I think it's interesting that Klaus is drawn to both of them because... So Stefan has the Ripper past and then Elijah has the Red Door past. And so, like, they're both trying to keep these dark things hidden in them. And Klaus is, like, drawn to pulling that dark side out of every fucking body.
Klaus is a little bit like the devil. He wants to take a pure soul and, like, rip them into shreds, I think, little bit.
He wants them to be...
Sure.
See him do bad.
...screwed up as he is, because he doesn't want
he
to
He also... Alone. I love him because he's just, like, in the sacrifice episode in season two, where he's, like... Stefan goes to sacrifice himself. He's like, take me instead of Jenna. Let me die. And he's like, I have great plans for you. And I really appreciate the irony of sacrificing three goddesses. And I just like, right then I wanted to fuck him. Right there. I was just like, okay. And he really does love strong women. If you see that, he tells Caroline how strong she is all the time. He sees, like, she's very insecure. But he finds all the strengths in her that nobody else sees, and that's why I love them.
They really...
And he sees
they deserved
it
to be...
With Haley, you're a queen. They did. So, but we see, like, this whole werewolf thing unraveling and the anger issues that they have. I also want to say, when Caroline turns into a vampire, real quick before I get to the werewolves, is that Caroline fucking figures it all by herself. She's just like...
Yeah, she does.
Boom, boom, boom. That's what we do. I'm a vampire now. This is my life.
Yeah, forever. She like goes through the on her own, figures it out on her own, and then but she does need Damon to help her control all of that.
Stefan.
Yes, that's, I was thinking of Damon for my next statement, that's why. Before we move on, I think when she first becomes a vampire, I think one of my favorite scenes is when they're in the high school hallway, Caroline and Damon, and she's like, I remember. She's like, you fucking asshole. And she starts flipping out on
him. And she just like tosses him. And then Damon's like,
kind of like, what the fuck?
Caroline, out of all people, as a vampire, and literally she's the last vampire standing, like in the whole series, I think, besides like Rebecca, that started out in the Vampire Diaries.
Mm-hmm. I have to wonder though, like, because of all that, if they regret coming back to Mystic Falls, if they regret getting involved with Elena. Elena took everybody down, including herself.
For real though. I mean, she's in a sleeping spell and she's still alive, but she's a human and she can't ever be a vampire or be healed by vampire blood again.
Yeah, I would hate that life.
Me too.
I feel like we were all just thinking about fucking Klaus for a second.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. And we see, like, yeah, okay. So, I don't even know. All right.
Klaus on the brain. See, he corrupts everyone.
I mean... Joseph Morgan plays that role so good. It was so good that he got his own spinoff. Like, that's how good he is.
The originals was so good. I think I liked the originals more than TVD. I think I enjoyed the originals.
Yes. Yeah, that's my favorite. It's my favorite out of all three, for sure.
I think that's just a testament to him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. However, I think they ruined both endings to both shows just for Legacies, and then Legacies didn't even do anywhere near as good because they rushed it.
I never even watched it. I never watched the Legacies. I mean...
I had.
I mean, Damon and Klaus and Bunny, those are probably my favorite characters throughout the show, and without them, I just wasn't drawn into even giving the show a chance.
So they're all mentioned at some point.
It's not the same.
And I like to see like where they end up. I know, but I needed to know how their stories really ended in the whole universe.
I get it.
So I had
to. Well, we know Bonnie wasn't happy ever.
No, she fucking poor wasn't. Thing.
Every time she gets a little bit of happiness, they're like, nah, let's fuck her over.
And Joseph Morgan makes an appearance in the very last episode.
Oh, does he?
It's not very good. It's not what I wanted. It's not like...
Oh, is it a memory or something?
No, it's like he comes... Okay, so he comes back in a ghost. Like, he's in the afterlife. He's at peace. He's found peace. And he, like, has a message for Hope. And Landon, which is her boyfriend, Tish, at the time. And, like, he's, like, a gate maker. He's, like, the fairy of the underworld and, like, finds this for her. And, like, they... So you... I don't know. He just, like, says, I love you and I wish you the best, pretty much. And you are my hope and you're my peace. You're the reason I'm at peace.
Is it fair that he would even find peace?
I know. He doesn't deserve it.
He's done a lot.
All right, well, let's get back to season two. Because I could talk about Klaus forever. So the werewolves, we see the sun and the moon, the curse of the sun and the moon. And we see, like, they don't even know what a werewolf can do. They don't know what originals are. They're trying to, like, dig deep of what all of this is. There's, like, rumors that in folklore that go back for thousands of years or hundreds and thousands of years. And they, like, are trying to figure out what's real and what's not. And then Damon, you know, wants to provoke the only werewolf that might be around.
For no reason whatsoever.
Right. Just because he's
like, I want him dead. Like,
if he can possibly kill me, I want him dead.
Because Mason was like, you know, bygones be bygones, man. We good, blah, 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 blah. And Damon's like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
He's like, this is an old thing. And then Stefan tries to make amends for Damon. He's like trying to good cop, bad cop it, like they do. And he's just like, nope, too late. He already stabbed me. Already killed me with that silver that didn't work for me.
I don't know. I think for them to be alive for so long, like them not to have as much knowledge about werewolves is kind of weird, especially with it being Mystic Falls. Like everything
exactly
converged there. Like,
I agree.
It's weird.
Yeah, but if you look
at, in like the timeline,
if you look at the history that they've shown us up until season two, is it's not like Damon and Stefan had spent hundreds of years in Mystic Falls. You know, they were turned there. They had both left, and then you saw them go back in the 1912 episode. And then, you know, they probably ended up leaving again. So it's not like they spend a lot of time to learn about.
They come throughout the years, but still, like, you're going to tell me that you lived in a town and were, like, born there and don't know, like, that werewolves existed there?
It's quite possible.
Also, right. Like, the timeline, I don't know, because the timeline about them, like, the timelines don't add up. When they brought the originals in and the originals were originally, like, they were Vikings and then they came to here, to Mystic Falls, and they, vampirism started there? Like, and then there's a Bennett Witch there, but then a Bennett Witch supposedly comes in with Catherine. I don't think they thought it all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, considering that the wolves were there before the vampires, like, I would feel like they would
existed.
Have
the wolves are the reason,
right? So sorry. I don't know. It's a weird the way that they kind of went about it, but also like the fact that you have to kill someone to trigger your curse. I always hate it.
That's
you can go your whole life without. Yeah, you go your whole life. Oh, I didn't kill someone. I never murdered someone. So like, I'm not gonna get to, you know, feel my full form, my full powers. Like, I don't know. It's very weird.
So, and if
Tyler,
and if the originals were in, like, with the vampires, you're telling me there was, like, that many werewolves that had to kill a human? Like, did they end up sacrificing people back then to trigger the curse for each person with the werewolf blood?
I forget when it was, like, turned into a curse, but witches created them for a reason. I think we talked about that a little bit last time. I think it was innuendo, whatever.
Yeah. She did it as, like, retribution for her tribe sacrificing her and made her mother, like, the first werewolf or something. But even so, like, it's... I just don't love the lore in this show for wolves, and I don't love how weak they are. I wish that they were a little stronger. Yeah. And even if they're in human, I mean, because I know we're crossing into hybrid territory, but like, even in their human form, I would love to see a little bit more strength from them, a little bit more, I don't know, something.
Well, they're so, I think they have to kill somebody because they're always angry. Like, that's what happens. Like, they just get so angry that they accidentally kill somebody, and that's why it works. But it is kind of weird that they have to kill somebody. And that they're not, they should be stronger. I agree with that as well.
What's the point in being a wolf if you're weak? Although, I will say,
it's not that you're weak, though. I think they're just weaker than vampires.
True. The power scale in this, they don't do a good job with the power scale.
Not at all.
Tyler's anger always used to scare me. Like, just as a regular person watching, like, looking at this dude who couldn't control his temper. I would be like, if I saw him in real life, I would stay away from him because I would feel like he's going to kill someone someday.
And then he did. Look at that.
And then he did.
But it was provoked. Catherine compelled them to make sure they killed themselves. They provoked him enough to kill themselves.
I mean, true.
She also did the same thing.
But I feel like he would do it like without provocation.
He didn't lose his temper and kill someone like Catherine wanted him to do to Matt. The girl came after him. He pushed her back, then she hit her head.
No. But he, yeah, totally. But he did lose his temper a lot. And his dad hit him a lot and was the same way.
Yeah, but I think once he became aware of the curse and what could happen, he was like, oh shit, I can't get mad and kill people.
Yeah.
Get into a fight. That's why he was like, Matt, I'm not going to.
So when they trigger the curse, does it make them calm down a little bit?
I think he seems less. Most wolves do seem less angry when they become a wolf.
Can you imagine giving that explanation to CPS? Like, you hit your kid. Like, I'm sorry. It's just my werewolf gene. It makes me angry and I can't control it.
That'd be fucked up. But they don't attack themselves. So that's like why we see Henrique.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because like in Klaus, when they go to watch the werewolves, Henrique gets attacked, but Klaus doesn't, because Henrique's probably not a wolf where Klaus is. And we see Haley protected by Jackson when he's in wolf form.
That's because Jackson's always in heat.
Well, yeah, but...
Love Jackson.
They just don't attack. They say that wolves don't, like, hurt other wolves. It's like a pack thing.
I would hate to be a part of a pack.
Me too.
It's like they act like they have no free will sometimes.
Well, they do, but the hybrids don't, for sure.
Like, it's the pack Except mentality. They
don't. You're right.
Well, I honestly, the wolves don't even have that much control because, like,
as a full moon.
Yeah, like, they don't even have, like, a choice. Like, the vampires, vampires have, like, a choice when they, you know, get all, you know, veiny in their eyes and, you know, eat people. But the werewolves, it's like the full moon. It's like, well, here we go. I'm going to break every bone in my body and I don't have a choice.
They have a choice. Just don't murder anybody. There's your choice.
If they know about it. If they don't.
True. Like, imagine Haley. Like, imagine, like, Haley's story always messes me up a little bit. Like, how she was in a foster home and turned into a wolf and they just, like, kicked her out, didn't try to help her, didn't try to figure out where the fuck that comes from or anything.
I mean,
imagine just dealing with all that.
I'd be terrified and probably kick her out too.
Yeah, not me.
I'd be like, can you scratch me so I can be like you and then you won't be alone? But, you know, not in this show. You gotta be born into it. Which begs the question of where are all the dead bodies? All these people dying and disappearing all over the world for wolves to come into being. Where are all the dead bodies?
They cleaned it up after.
Yeah. Well, if you see, like, okay, so when you watch episode, I don't even know what episode it is, but it's the episode where, like, that girl Jules, she comes and she's like, she first bites Rose. It's the first werewolf bite that we see. And she is out in the woods somewhere and there's like people camping and they're all torn up and she didn't mean to do it because she was in wolf form. But so a cop rolls up and she's like burning these bodies and she just starts laying there like crying and she knocks the cop up before he pages in for help. She's like, it was an animal attack. Like, oh. So like they do when they wake up, they clean up the body.
True.
They can remember like what happened. They just don't have control while they're doing it. Which doesn't really make sense.
Really loved to see that, like, that side of Damon when he sat with Rose as she died and took away her pain and let her sit in the sun and ride the horses and that kind of thing. That was really sweet.
It was sad. Yeah, that was really cute. I love that too.
It was the first time I actually started Damon.
Yeah, I think this, you know, I think one thing they did with season two is you really saw the Damon's, like, other side. Like,
soft side?
Yeah, you saw his, like, soft side when he went to, after he went and got Elena back. And he went back to her room to hand her back her necklace. And she's like, he's like, I tell you something first. And she's like, why won't you give me my necklace back then? And then he tells her how he's in love with her, but that his brother deserves to be with her more and all that stuff. And it was so sad. And then he, you know, compelled her. And that almost made me cry. Yeah, it almost made me cry.
In the words of the great Catherine, have them both.
It's okay to love them both. I did.
I mean,
that bitch.
She says that, but then she wants them to break up.
Well, she wants Stefan to break up. She's in love with Stefan. Stefan's her man.
Because they right. Her. Right. That's what I mean. Like,
we don't care what Damon does. Damon, she's like, you know, your obsession with me has made it really hard. She's like, for you and me both, honey.
Well, he's such a simp.
Well, she can have him, and I'll take Damon and Klaus.
Excuse me, nobody said Klaus was up for grabs, ma'am.
But then, so as Damon, like, the fact that he, or I guess as Elena, I would constantly question, although we don't know if Elena knows exactly how obsessed and in love with Catherine Damon is, like, to the actual degree that he is, but, like, I would question our entire relationship. Like, does he want me just because of her? Like, is it me that, what does he want about me?
You can tell it's pretty early on that it's not that. That he likes her because she's kind to him. Because she sees good things in him.
I would still question.
I mean, I'm sure she does at some point. Because she actually doesn't. She's just like gives him the benefit of the doubt every time.
Every time.
I would too.
Kill my brother. Oh, it's okay. I know you knew he would be all right. It's fine.
Well, he didn't actually die, so I forgive you.
Until he does die. And then he's not, and then Damon's not even there for her when he's dead. He's like, I gotta get Bonnie. Poor fucking Bonnie. She's crazy at that point. Because Silas is deep.
Oh, poor fucking Bonnie. She was done probably the dirtiest of anyone on this show.
He fucking was.
Every season.
He deserves
every season. She really did.
Yeah, between losing her grandmother, hooking up with Jeremy cheating on her with his dead ex-girlfriend, then her Dame turned her mom into a vampire. I mean, and that's just up until season 3.
Also, you see everybody's bedroom. You see Caroline's bedroom, Matt's fucking bedroom. Like, everybody's bedroom. You never see Bonnie's bedroom. Ever. Except for when she's sharing a room at Whitmore with all of them.
There was the one time when they had the sleepover. It was the one time.
No, I don't think that was her house.
No. I'm thinking of something completely different. I'm thinking of the time. Caroline. I'm thinking of Caroline. Never mind.
So they have a sleepover at Caroline's and they have a sleepover at Elena's, but you never see Bonnie get a bed. Like, how messed up is that?
Hate to do it, but I might play the race card just a tiny bit. I hate to do it, but it's always come up when talking about Bonnie. She always is kind of playing to the left, and she's the only person of color on the show.
No, I mean, Julie Plec was extremely racist.
Oh, was she?
She was not a good, like, if you even watch the originals in season 5, notice, like, what happens to Marcel and Vincent's characters, like, and how it's not, like, good for them. And then, like, Klaus and Marcel don't even get... She starts writing for the show in season 5 of the originals because she's done with the Vampire Diaries now. And, like, Marcel and Klaus don't even get a goodbye moment.
Right.
And, like, that they deserve that. And it's because she's a writer on there now. And that's what I think, personally.
It's just, I kind of feel like in these shows, the people of color kind of always get the short end of the stick.
Especially at this point in time as well.
Yeah, they get a lot of trauma.
I'd like to say that it's better now, a little bit, but you're right. It's true. And it's awful.
And I always hate to pull that, but it's like, it's hard to defend Bonnie's writing, because every time it seems like she's going to have a happy ending, or like, all we see with her is a lot of trauma dumping, a lot of bad things happening to her. And we don't really ever see her dealing with those bad things, but we see her, like, we see everyone else process a situation or an episode or whatever. But with her, we don't really.
Because she's the one that's always like, oh, I have to help this person. This person needs me. And she's never able to be like, I'm pissed off at you. You did this to me. Like, it's always, Bonnie, do this, get over it. Don't worry about your grandmother dying or your mom getting turned into a vampire or any of these things. It's always like, Elena needs me. Elena needs me. Damon needs me. Klaus kidnapped me.
I feel like there was an episode where she actually pointed that out.
She does. She says she never gets her happiness and she's choosing herself, and she still in that episode doesn't fucking choose herself.
Hurts. But what were you going to say about Elena?
Elena, they put so much, like, even when her, in after season six, when she's gone, like, they just should have let her go and made Bonnie, like, Kat Graham should have been, like, the main character. And, like, Ben with Damon. And they should have killed her off, not just put her in a sleeping coma. They should have let her die. They had the last two seasons revolved around a character who wasn't there anymore. It was already annoying for the show to revolve around Elena Gilbert, but then for her to actually not be present in the show and then still revolve around her was too much.
But in the game and in the Bonnie aspect, I loved the relationship they had, and I would not have liked to see them get into a romantic one.
See, I could have been okay with it. I could have been okay with it if Elena was gone, because Bonnie, personally, I think she's way too good of a friend and wouldn't have done that to Elena, knowing that she's going to become alive again. But if she was dead and gone for good, that's different. That changes things. And they could have bonded over death.
Yeah. I do love Bonnie's character growth in the sense of, I feel like she's a strong character in that she has everything she's gone through, and she's forgiven these people who have wronged her and done so many things to her, to then end up being friends with them and helping them through the seasons. I kind of don't super understand it because I guess I'm not that mature, but I still find her kind of strong for it.
Well, at least you're self-aware.
So I mean, as a person that believes things too, I think I can kind of see where she is coming from. She knows she has these gifts and that everything happens for a reason in the way that they're supposed to happen. And I feel like she feels that she, you know, has these powers and she needs to do whatever she can to stop these evils or help these people or stop bad things from going on.
I'm still gonna say let's kill everybody. It might be Klaus Jr.
Klaus just wanted to be loved and he didn't want to be alone. That was his whole reason for the hybrid. The obsession with the hybrid was because he just wanted people to be with him and to love him and not leave him. So he felt that he had to make a whole entire race that would be completely loyal towards him.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I will say, why did I'm trying to remember, it's not like he was in pain having his werewolf side locked up. Why did he want to release his werewolf side so badly?
Well, if you had a part of yourself that was banned and you couldn't express it to the world, I think you would want to release it too. I mean, I would personally. I don't know. It's like, that's who he is. Do you know what I mean? And now this curse has been broken and he is like transforming, and his mother banned it, like a part of who he is. And they do a big part, like a big thing of that in the originals. There's like with Hope and like the werewolves that want to ban Haley's side.
I think also the part that like his dad, who wasn't his dad, hated that part of him so much that it was more like a rebel against that kind of thing as well.
I can see that.
So I'm going to try to get back to season two just because we could talk, like I said, we could, it's Klaus every time. We could talk about him forever.
I know, you only see him, you really only get a little information from in season two. It's hard.
Next season, if you guys want to come back, we can talk about Klaus all day long. The moon and the sun curse is a big thing here. They're trying to break it. Mason's trying to get the moonstone. He had it at one point. It was in the Lockwood Mansion. What do you guys think about the Sun and the Moon curse?
It's stupid.
I think I had them all running around with their heads cut off for a curse that wasn't even real.
Crazy. This is very true.
And then we see Elijah die, too. And he explains to us what the Sun and the Moon curse is, but that's the first time you see a vampire die and then come back to life. You're like, how the heck did that just happen? That's crazy. And it's like, and it's because he's an original. And they say that Klaus is the oldest original, but Elijah is. So they don't have all their, they don't know even if, like, they don't know that Elijah's actually an original or, like, what the difference is, that they're brothers, anything about them.
Yep. Learning the hierarchy.
And he's just like, no, he wants to kill
them. You don't even know that they're actually related until Elijah talks to Elena.
Yeah, totally. You're right.
Elijah was scary.
Because because when he was talking about it, he never, when he's talking to everyone else and explained who Klaus was, he was never like, oh, I'm my brother or anything. He just always called him Klaus. And like, you're just
Klaus
like,
is an evil. Yeah. Whatever, he has my family.
Yeah.
Yeah, he talked about him like he was an adversary versus a sibling.
Yeah. Which he was, but he was both.
Yeah, totally.
And Elijah was ready, and Elijah was ready to do away with them until he's like, I have them, they're not in the ocean.
Yeah. Okay, I do have a question. It is Klaus, but it's season two.
Okay.
So him jumping into Alaric's body and being able to compel Catherine. Like,
weird.
The logistics. How?
Okay, so a lot of people say that, like, because that's like a power from your mind. So I've actually asked this question before on like a Reddit forum somewhere. So a lot of people think that it's more like because it's a mind power where he doesn't have like the speed and the things that would come with the body, but this is something that he can do with his mind. So it travels with him in his mind.
That's interesting.
But I'm not sure. Honestly, it's weird. And we also never see him do that again. Like go in anybody else's body. He's very in love with his body, just like the rest of us. And so it's weird that he's like, like, yeah, that's a very...
complains about the body the whole entire time.
You know what's so weird? So you know his tattoo that's on his chest with the birds? Mm-hmm. So before I ever watched the show, like before I at least got to the... I watched the first season in 2009, but before I actually came back and watched it and saw Klaus, I had used my Cricut to make like this thing. It says like fly and I don't know, something, spread your wings, blah, 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 blah. But it's like literally his tattoo on my wall. And I didn't even know. And then I got addicted to the show and saw it on him. And I was like, oh my God.
Wait. So I kind of almost wonder how a vampire gets tatted.
I know. I hope it was in his human life. Did we see it in the flashbacks?
It couldn't have been, right?
I think they can still get tattooed. No. They're going to heal a lot quickly.
But how? Because... Yeah, you're right.
Will the ink go into the skin?
I never even thought about this, guys. Yeah,
because they're still putting the ink into the skin. It's just the skin is healing over the ink. So I don't think it's that hard to understand at all.
Okay.
Do they still have blood in there? Are they warm-blooded in this? I have so many vampire things in my
head. They still have blood. Because, I mean, sorry, this is a little outside of season two, but Michael, he feeds on vampires.
Okay, yep.
So they still have blood.
He trains himself to do that over time because he doesn't want to keep, like, feeding on the innocent when he'd rather feed on the abominations.
Mm.
But it depends because they feed on humans. So he's, like, when you see Elena and Damon, when Elena feeds on Damon when she first becomes a vampire... He's telling her, like, maybe you'll get, like, human blood from me from all the humans I drink. You know what I mean?
We don't even really see them drink that many people, like...
No, not really. Sometimes.
And I guess they don't drink to kill. They just drink to get satisfied and then compel them to forget.
Yeah, because most of the time they're either drinking from bags or they'll have a partner that they're screwing around with and using as a source of their meals, and then they'll, you know, heal them, feed them more blood, and make them forget, that kind of thing. They're not actually going out killing people to drain them off their blood.
Well, some vampires do. Like, some vampires have, like, a different, like, they, like, what's her name? Antoinette in, like, the originals. She does. There's, like, a whole group of vampires that, like, want to be creatures of the night and live by that code.
It's too many daylight rings.
Yeah, so they make daylight rings seem super, like, rare to come by.
Rare in season one.
And then everybody has them.
And then once you get to season two, yeah, they're, like, not that big of a deal anymore.
Well, except Rose and Slater almost die because of not having one. And they have, like, a whole vampire cafe underneath the ground and that Elijah, like, throws coins into, and then you're like, oh shit, he's alive still. Oh, weird. And then you see him compelling other vampires, which you didn't think was a thing.
That was a great scene, by the way.
Which one?
Elijah throwing the coins in the window.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, it was.
Eventually you see what a werewolf bite does to a, because Jules comes back because Mason is dead, because, you know, Damon couldn't stop himself, and they get this, like, the moonstone out of the well. It's all vervain. And you see Catherine be like, oh, you think that was gonna stop me? I got A, B, C, like, I have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C, D. Well, you know how the alphabet works, right? Like,
because Catherine is that bitch.
She is. I love her. And then you see, like, I don't even know what I started out with. It was something about Elijah, I think. Oh, Rose. I don't know. Jules. Oh, yeah. So Jules, like, is looking for Mason because he's dead. And Tyler leaves him a voicemail. And then you see Tyler and Caroline again, really close and cute. And I love them.
Gross.
I love them as a couple so much.
And, like, until you see her with Klaus, then I'm like, you know what I mean? But once you see her with Klaus, you're like, oh, I want them to be together. But if they, like, they should not have ruined Tyler and Caroline to not give us Klaus and Caroline. You know what I'm saying? They should have only done that if they were going to actually get together. And they didn't. And that was mad.
Okay, so, sorry to just double back on this. So it was actually the witches that moved Klaus into Alaric's body. That's probably why we don't see it again.
Yeah, but...
Okay. Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
But what?
It's his witch that does it for him, and Elijah says that it's him, that it's, that's what he does when he goes to, like, his enemies. He goes into other people's bodies, but he doesn't ever do it again.
Yep.
But the witch, it's not the witch's, like, choice. It was Klaus's choice.
Yeah, it was his choice, but I guess, like, his witch isn't there to do it for him. So I guess that begs the question, why does he never make Freya?
Okay, but what about Freya?
Yeah. Right.
I just think that was, like, they forgot about it.
And so, and he wants to break the curse so he can turn into a werewolf at will, but then he never does.
That pisses me off so much. That's my biggest problem with this entire show. Honestly, even more than Elena, is that we never see Klaus's wolf form.
Like, that was the whole point of season two. You never see it. It's awesome.
Well, I don't think that was the whole point, though, when you really look at it. I think the whole point was to be able to bring out that part of him so that he could turn other werewolves into hybrids.
That was part of it, but he also just wanted to be who he was. But he also, because of everybody, a lot of vampires look down on werewolves, and I think that he looked down on his, including his father and mother, and I think that that really made him look down on himself, and he could never really embrace that part of himself, even when he did have it activated. And he never wanted that for, like, Hope either, which I love him.
And then I don't think they had the lore quite figured out until the originals, because they make it seem like he was like suppressed by other witches and not his mom.
No, I think it's pretty clear that it's his mom, because Elijah tells the story to Elena and explains that there are 7 siblings, and that like his father found out that it was an affair and he was not there. Like, and she, he's like, I believe the term you were looking for is OMG. Like, I'm not up with this, but yeah, I think he know. I think like you're, I think they say it's the mother.
Okay, it could be.
Or at least the original witch, but like it's his mother. She's such a bitch, that lady. Esther Michelson. Imagine having her as your mom.
Then I would become a bloodthirsty killer.
Until she tries to kill you.
Dude.
Until she tries to kill me.
Just kill her first.
She might sell me off to her sister and pretend I died of the plague.
You know? Yeah, that bitch had some secrets. She did some dirty things. Like,
you know who I feel the worst for in season 2, like, of all the cast, would be Jenna.
Yeah, she just walks into a knife. Oops, my bad.
She doesn't deserve any of it.
Just not even just that, but
doesn't know anything the whole time and is lied to.
Like, Alaric's acting creepy. She gets killed, turned into a vampire, and then killed again. I think it all happened in like one episode.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
What was it?
Dude, you know what pisses me off so badly? Is that they don't let Alaric come. Alaric is there all the time fighting fucking vampires. And literally the one night his girlfriend is dying, they don't let him come. That was like so beyond messed up. I hated it. I hated every second of it. I hated it.
Although I thought it was kind of weird how he felt, I guess, kind of obligated to keep watch of Jeremy and Elena after Jenna's gone.
I don't, because
they weren't that close. I mean, they weren't about to get married or something.
I know, but like, here's the thing that I think is that Elena was his actual wife's kid, technically.
Technically.
And I think he's just, but he has spent a lot of time with them at this point. And I kind of like,
I'm not about to take y'all into my house. Well, maybe.
He's like sleeping on the couch. Like, for them to kick me out. He probably just feels bad leaving them alone with nobody.
I guess it does, like, with all of the regular humans out of the way, except for Matt, like, the show then becomes, it goes into, now we can do whatever the fuck we want to, because we ain't got no humans to worry about. And no adults either.
Pretty much.
Free reign.
So we see Rose get bit by a werewolf while they're trying to, like, after she's, like, Damon, pretty much it was for Damon, and Damon feels so guilty, and we see that good soft side of him. And the Moonstone is, like,
sweet Damon.
I don't know, they get the Moonstone. We see her hallucinating. I really like that episode. I like the parallels with Damon. I mean, with Catherine, and you see, like, some of Catherine's backstory and, like, how she loses her baby out of wedlock. Her dad just calls her a slut and says, here's it, and then Klaus kills their whole family because she doesn't want to sacrifice herself. And then we wonder why she's a villain.
I mean, who wouldn't be a villain after that?
I know, for real. Like, can you blame her? I can't, honestly. And she's telling...
No, I mean, you had to... After that, you have to get hard in order to survive as long as she has.
Yeah, you do. And she was like, she had it in her from the beginning. And it's cool because, like, you find out she's a traveler, too. So she's actually magical. So I don't know if that's why doppelganger blood is potent. Like, or... I don't get it, though, because they say that Amara is not magical. But whatever. Do you guys know who Amara is?
Yeah, like the original doppelganger.
Yeah, like the original, yeah.
Maybe she's just, like, her...
I thought... The original.
Katia is the first doppelganger that they encounter after the original one.
Okay.
But you know how, like, some stuff has it where, say, like, two people who are really in love, they're like, I'm going to see you in the next life or whatever. Maybe, like, her death just sets something apart about her DNA.
What do you mean?
Like, there's just something special about her. Like, maybe she wasn't supposed to die when she died. And then it just almost like kind of making a pact or a deal with like the heavens or something, like, so where she comes back, she's reincarnated, but it's as a doppelganger in each life. And that's how her blood becomes magical.
Well, so she's a traveler, but like the like Catherine is a traveler.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like the witches that travel inside of people's heads. And then, but like Amara and Tatya, I don't know if they were actually travelers or witches or whatever. I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
I was just thinking, like, sometimes when people, like, sort of just when they're dying or they make a pact, like, to come back reincarnated or new, like, their wish for life is so strong that, like, when they're reincarnated or when they come back, like, then they become special.
Well, so they come back because it's nature's way of finding a balance, because Silas and Amara are now immortal because they take the serum that Ketsia makes. So they come back to be able to have a version of them that can be taken out. That's why Stefan and Elena and like Catherine and all the Tom Avery all exist, because they're a version that can of the doppelgangers that can be removed from the world.
And see, I stopped watching, like, I think right before the Traveler stuff, because I was like, okay,
the Traveler storyline sucks.
Yeah, I got it. The originals just took over for me, and I was so done with the universe at that point.
So, maybe I should go back and watch it. Yeah, I can see. Me too. So basically, we see like Elena. Oh, you know what I also really like? Caroline, when she fights the like when Mason gets them, Damon and Stefan, like, put down in the Lockwood cellar, and Liz is down there, and then Caroline comes in and just starts fucking everybody up, and they, like, have to compel, you think that, like, Damon's gonna kill Liz, and he's like, Liz, we're friends, I'm not gonna kill you, and you're like, wow. And Damon's like, Stefan's so weak he almost dies because he's feeding on animal blood, so he starts eating human blood. Like Elena's blood, slowly. And then, but like the moment that Liz is like, keep her away from me, she's not my daughter anymore, I like broke for Caroline.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sad.
It was a lot. I felt so bad for her. And then she, like, comes around and she starts, like, seeing this as her daughter, and she's hearing the story about how Bonnie finally talked to her because she's a vampire and she hates vampires. And she's like, she just talked to me. She didn't even, like, well, and she said I could come. And, like, she's like, wow, you're, like, this strong, independent woman now. And then she has to compel her anyways, even though she's okay with her being a vampire. And then it's not until the end of the season that she finds out again that she's a vampire when she shoots Jeremy.
I love their relationship. I actually love Damon and Sheriff Forbes' relationship, too.
Yeah, me too.
I love Damon and all his friends.
He has so many friends for such a villain. He's like the most, he has the most friendships in the entire fucking show.
He really does, yeah. He really does. And then I feel like people turn around, like Stefan turns around and is just like, where'd you meet all these people? Or how are all these people your friends? What the fuck? He's like, a nice brother.
He has, yeah, I agree. He has deep connections. He also gets away with more because it's just sexy.
True.
Well, we see Elijah come in. We see Caroline help. First of all, we see Caroline help Tyler transform into a wolf, and it's like really cute, and they get really close, and then he leaves with Jules. And she has her prisoner. And when he doesn't, like, stop them and, like, stand up for Caroline, he almost doesn't let her out of that cage. And I, like, lost it when that shit was happening.
That pissed me off.
Me too.
When he was, like, going back and forth, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, she didn't rat out her friends because she didn't give them up to you. So you're, like, mad. So you're going to let your freaking wolf people.
He was confused because he thought that, yeah. But, like, that was his uncle. And he lied. She lied to him. I get it. A little bit. It was fucked up, though.
I think that whole part was stupid.
And then they got into, like, so she, he ends up leaving and being a coward and not even saying bye because he knows that he fucked up. And then when he comes back, she's like, Tyler, like, you're going to just leave again? And then they get sacrificed for the thing. And then Damon comes and frees them. And, like, Tyler bites Damon.
Because Tyler's a douche.
And then when, like, yeah, he is a douche. And also when Catherine's in the tomb, they, like, she's like, oh, Elena needs to be protected. The doppelganger needs to be protected. And they all think Catherine's lying. And she's, like, literally telling the truth this time. And then he, like, that's when Rose gets her kidnapped.
Yep. And then Damon's like, oh fuck, how was I supposed to know? She, everything out of her mouth is a lie.
And then we just have, like, Elena is so willing to sacrifice herself.
Oh my god, she's like that every season, and it's so annoying.
And then, like, the dagger?
Yeah, no. Elena's either like, oh, please come and help me and save me, or no, stay away, I need to go get myself killed.
She's like, I don't question why you or Stefan or any, like, would kill me, but why do you have to question why I would want to sacrifice myself or any of you? And Rose is like, Damon, this bitch has a death wish. Get here quick. I didn't realize this was what's happening when I snuck away.
She literally does have a death wish.
And they're like, yeah, and he's like, because we're vampires?
Well, that...
We've already lived really.
That was like that was what Stefan says because they're at the lake house or whatever, and Damon's gonna kill because Catherine made a deal with John Gilbert to like get to kill one of the vampires so she would be released to kill Elijah, and he could either save Stefan or Damon. And then they find out that if a vampire uses this dagger, first of all they stab him and then take it out when he wakes back up, and then they realize that.
Oh, I really love that part where Stefan's like, oh, God, I'm just like, yeah, just make sure he leaves the dagger in his chest. And they're like, oh, fuck. And they run downstairs and he's gone.
Yep. And then there's like the witches that are helping Bonnie learn how to channel music. Not music, magic. Like Luca, he gets the way he dies that like, oh, my God, it looks so painful. He's like burnt with a torch.
Ouch.
Yeah, I kind of felt really bad for them.
Yeah, I did too, honestly.
The witches always get fucked up in this show.
I know. I feel like the witches should be stronger. I know they can still take down, like, vampires and whatnot, but they deserved more. That's why, yeah. I really like heretics, because they're both. I want that so bad for me.
She said so bad for me. I thought she was going to say so bad for a character, but she doesn't know I want it so bad for me.
I would love to be a heretic so badly.
I definitely didn't watch that one. I don't even know what they really are.
Really?
Yeah.
That's season...
I gave up.
You got to go back. Season 7. It gets better. It gets better again. So, like, Stefan has a baby with one of them. We can talk about this another time, but it's good. I love the Heretics. Love, love, love them. So, do you know about, like, Kai Parker at all?
Yeah, I mean, I would still follow the show. I just didn't watch it.
Gotcha. So, he was a witch that didn't have power of his own. He came from the Gemini Coven. And he could siphon things. So, when those type of witches, they didn't have magic of their own. They could only siphon from other magical sources. Anything, a spell, a witch, any kind of magical creature. So that's where his magic came from. But when you become a vampire as a siphon, you can still stay a vampire because you have your own source of magic to siphon from the entire time.
Oh.
And I love
that. Awesome.
Yeah, I think they're pretty cool. So, I don't know what I was saying. Oh, but we also see Bonnie and Jeremy start dating in this, like, and Elena's, like, so cool with it. She, like, allows it to happen. She's like, oh, I couldn't imagine anybody, like, I couldn't imagine my brother having anybody better than you. Like,
bizarre. But I actually did ship them as
a couple. I mean, I guess it didn't weird me. Yeah. Yeah. And I really like them. And I didn't, her, like, being okay with it, it didn't weird me out. Just because, like,
that was a good friend move.
Like, yeah, yeah, and like, she loves her brother and she constantly looking for him. And, you know, Bonnie's one of her greatest friends. I think she knew, like, oh, she's really good for
Again,
him.
He wasn't good for her, though.
Nope.
No, dumbass.
But honestly, I don't blame Jeremy for, like, kissing Anna because, like, I get it.
I don't either. It was like a lose-lose thing, but it just, it sucked.
Yeah.
Jeremy was very annoying to me in the beginning.
Yeah. Also, we see John Gilbert come in and, like, is like Stefan goes to get information. He's like, you keep your deal with Elijah. I'm going to go. I didn't make a deal with Elijah. You did. I'm going to go find Isabel. And comes back with John Gilbert, who, like, almost gets Damon killed. And the dagger thing, when you see Elijah coming into that house, like, he, like, waits outside. I'm going to wait here until you come out. I'll wait you out. And, like, it's so different from when Klaus tries to get into the house. I'm sorry. That's in a different season, but it was just funny to see their differences. And so Elena then daggers him again. She tricks him when he comes to the house. Says, I'll kill myself, and he's like, I'm gonna have to call you on your bluff, and she stabs herself, and then Tyler doesn't realize that Elena has to die for the curse to be broken, and he felt bad for helping the werewolves afterwards. And
I feel like Tyler's always doing like something stupid, like half baked. He never really fully knows the situation, but he's always like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, no, he gets used very easily. Like, he doesn't stop and think.
Yeah, and then he bites Tyler, and we see, like, when he's churning, he doesn't ever think, though. Sorry, I just jumped ahead. You know, we kind of already talked about
it. Yeah.
But he bit Damon, and we see Damon, like, Elena's, like, pissed because he feeds her vampire blood because he doesn't want her to die, and she's, like, he's trying to apologize, and she won't forgive him.
She won't forgive him for that, but she'll forgive him for killing her brother.
Yeah, I mean, it took time on both situations, but then she finds out he's dying of a werewolf bite, and it, like, they're running through town.
Yeah, and that,
looking for each other.
That's when she's like, yeah.
And I love those parallels, too. He's like, Catherine, I have to do this if we're going to be together forever. And then he realizes it's her, and she's like, oh, fuck. And Liz is like, Liz just found out he was a vampire. Tries to shoot him, but shoots fucking Jeremy instead, and that's when Bonnie brings Jeremy back from the dead, even though she was warned not to, and that's where the girlfriend consequences come into play. I don't think we know that.
Yeah, but I think that was an important scene, because I think her seeing what Caroline did to try to help to, you know, save him. I think it showed her, like, oh, okay, it's not all bad. Like, they're not trying to,
yeah,
you know, they can save people too.
Yeah, because when Matt comes to find out, like, about it, he tells Sheriff Forbes in there, and she's not sure what to fucking do. And then she does see he is she's a good person. Her daughter is still her daughter.
Yeah.
And Matt realizes
that. Yeah, I think it helps.
I don't think she's any different. If she is, she's acting like a really good job. I agree, that is an important scene, but it was just stupid how, like, it comes back to life like that, and him. And then John gives up his life so Elena can keep her life after the sacrifice.
Waste of time.
Yep, and she still becomes a vampire anyways. He's like, I'm not going to let her turn into the one thing I've wanted her not to be.
Yeah, but I think that was a lot more for his character than hers, because, you know, he was just, like, a jackass the whole show, like, and you're like, and that was just a really good moment for him to see him.
Yeah, I
feel like that was just a really great end to his character, to see him be her dad and make sure she was okay.
Yeah, and then and so after the whole, like, sacrifice thing, you see Klaus say to Stefan, like, oh, I have plans for you. And you're like, how the hell does he have plans for him? Like, what do you mean you have plans for him? Like, why? And then you see, like, he's, Damon gets bit, and then you see Stefan run to, like, try to figure out a cure. He's like, we're going to figure out a cure, and Damon's, like, trying to kill himself in the, with his out of daylight, right? And Stefan stops him and locks him up and says, nope, this ain't happening. And he's just like,
how different the show would have been, though, without him.
Oh, yeah, it would have been horrible. He's the comic relief for sure.
Can I say how creepy it looks when as Stefan gets his hand on a human blood bag?
Oh, so creepy.
Just like, oh my god, the way he acts, he's like, it's almost like he's like turned on. Like, he's just like, oh my god, this is so good. Oh my god. Like, I know he's like an addict for blood, but it's just the way he drinks the bag, you're just like, what the fuck?
He doesn't want to. But he just...
No, he I know he doesn't want to, but he's just like, oh my god, that's so good. That's the spot.
And then when he finally gives Catherine the cure to, like, go, you don't think she's gonna go. And then she walks in on them kissing, and she's like, it's okay to love them both. I did. And Elena acts like she's not just like Catherine, but, like, even later on, she, like, realizes, I am that bitch. My doppelganger is smarter than me. No, you're just both stupid bitches. I'm just kidding. She was smarter than you, though. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, Elena tries to act all high and mighty, and, like, that's the one thing I don't like, that she's, like, better than Catherine. But no, you're Catherine.
You're just not as good at it. Like, Catherine compels whole towns.
Right.
I forget.
Yeah, well, because I think Elena, you know, she wants to do the right thing and be good and protect the people that she loves. But Elena never had to go through and do the things that Catherine had to do. Elena wasn't forced to run and do all these things to protect herself, where Catherine was.
Well, you don't need to survive when everybody's throwing themselves and protecting you and not letting you.
Right. Elena got whole grown vampires, like, trying to give her life.
Everybody. Witches, family, everybody.
Dad kills himself for you, sacrifices himself.
Meanwhile, Catherine's dad's like, you had sex out of wedlock? Goodbye.
See you never.
Poor thing.
That was good.
But, like, honestly,
it was a different time. But yeah, so honestly, what?
I was gonna make a point, but it kind of goes off into season three, so I don't know if you want me to hold off.
I mean, you can make a point
until. So, it's kind of. I feel like it's kind of stupid how they're always just like, we gotta go kill Klaus, even after they realize, hey, Klaus needs Elena alive, he wants her protected because he needs her blood, yet they're always, you got this big bad original that wants to keep her alive, which you want to keep her alive too, yet you're just keep being like, yeah, let's kill Klaus, let's put Elena in more danger than she already is.
He wants to keep her alive to use her as his human blood bag, though.
I mean, okay.
I don't...
It's not like he's, like, eating her. He literally drops her off at a hospital and has her blood taken. It's not like he actually was,
she was
like,
gonna die.
It's not like
he's if Damon did
her upside down or anything.
If Damon did... He doesn't care about her. He wanted her blood and he was gonna drain her dry and let her go. And let her die.
Yeah, but then he realizes that he needs her alive.
Yeah, but, like, he doesn't once he has her blood until Rebecca comes along, but that's, again, season three, so, but I think we covered a lot of the season two stuff. Do you guys have anything else to add?
I don't think so. I think my mind's going off into season three now.
I know, because you're watching it.
But I think we covered most of season two. I know. I keep trying to think, and I've held a few things back just because I'm like, okay, that's season three, not season two.
But I really liked how Klaus shows up, because, like, they talk about him. I like when he does finally show up. I feel like he actually lives up to the hype that they talked about all season.
Because he's first mentioned in season, in like episode 8, and it's not till episode 19, so it's like 11 episodes later that you finally meet him, and they're talking about him in like every episode. And he does. He's evil. He's bad. And he's just caught in every fucking lie. And he's killing people and sacrificing and doesn't give a fuck.
He did a great job at living up to the hype.
He did. And Joseph Morgan, they waited up. They brought out, because Elijah's not in the books either. It's just Klaus. He's the only original in the books.
Oh.
And so, like, Elijah's brought in because they wanted to, like, really find somebody to play Klaus really well. And they made the right choice. Like, they waited long enough to find him, and he fucking killed it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Did they ever say why they decided to give him Elijah extra siblings or anything?
I think just because they wanted to. They wanted, I don't know, they wanted to explore the originals a little bit more, like, and what they could do, and, like, give, like, I don't know. I like the dagger thing. I don't know if they use that anywhere. I have to read the books, honestly. I'm going to have to.
Yeah, no, we have to read the books, but I think the whole part of giving them, like, a family and everything is adding that human aspect to Klaus. And, you know, he's like this big bad. He's like this big, you know, bad guy. But you, and especially a sh like this, you want the bad guy to also kind of pull at your heart and to kind of make you go back and forth. Especially, I think, when they realize, like, oh, hey, his character is like a hit. They're like, how can we make people like love him as much as they hate him too? And given him that human aspect of the family and everything, I think really played into that.
Well, they just, that was before they really had him on there though, because they had Elijah first just to kill time before they brought Klaus in.
Yeah, but you know, they like do those, what the hell do you call them? They like those like test groups and everything like that. So freaking people are probably already like, yeah, we really like him. We like his character. He's hot. And they were probably just like, all right. I think from the get-go, they were probably like, all right, we need to do a lot more with his character than just make him the big bad.
I don't know. I don't think so. Because they had planned to kill him. You're talking about Klaus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they planned to kill him off in season 3 until his character did so well on air.
Did they?
Wow. Yeah, he was going to die in the episode where Elijah had his heart.
That would have been awful.
And then they kept him. And then so the other actors, they never say who, but like some of the actors were like, why are these originals getting so much screen time in season 4? And they were like, oh, well, we'll just make a fucking spinoff. And that's how the originals was born, out of jealousy.
Well, someone's jealousy was arcing.
Yeah, for real.
Was before we, you know, and the originals was just so good, and I just enjoyed it. Like, their whole backstory, the whole family dynamic that they have, seeing their history in New Orleans, and just like, I love that it was just set in New Orleans, seeing, you know, the witches. Yeah, like, you got like, and New Orleans is such like a rich place and culture and history, and I love just everything about the originals that they did and how it was all incorporated in. I just thought it was
incredible. There's a lot of stories coming out about people actually seeing real vampires in New Orleans, which is really cool, in my personal opinion. What are you? So you said, Janiqua, you are going to New Orleans now?
Yeah.
When is that?
October.
That's so exciting. I'm so happy for you.
I would love to get turned into a vampire while I'm out there.
Well, feel free to extend the offer. I mean, you can't even call yourself a friend if you're a vampire and you don't at least offer.
That's true. I need to find those stories. I had not heard about that.
Yeah, no, Michaela, I think we need to plan a trip to New Orleans, and we got to see if we can connect to any, like, spirits or anything down there, see what's going on.
Yeah, or like, I also really want to go to Covington, which is like Mystic Falls, basically, but it's in Georgia for real. But I want to do both of those trips really badly. There's a bench. Yeah. I hope you get to sit on the bench that says, like, RIP Elijah and Klaus or whatever it says.
Yeah, I'm going to make my mom do a bunch of weird stuff. So she better be ready.
Please send me a picture. I would totally appreciate it.
Of course. And, like, I would need to definitely go on a trip with, like, people who love vampire stuff as much as I do.
That sounds so fun. I get it. Is your mom into it?
Oh yeah, my mom's an Anne Rice freak.
Okay, so she's into the whole like horror stuff.
Oh yeah, like we're going with a Facebook group called Black Girls Love Horror. So like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. So she wants to go to a voodoo shop. So I was like, okay, can I get a voodoo doll? I'm scared, but I want one.
Have you guys ever watched Witches of Eastend?
Yes. So good.
It's only 2 seasons, but they talk a lot about...
I know. I was really sad how short it was.
Have you watched it, Janiqua?
No, I keep seeing it, but I never like sat down to watch it.
So like the aunt from that show... She spent a lot of time in New Orleans, and she, like, her like ex worked at a food shop and made like dolls. There was a lot of like lore from like a lot of shows mentioned New Orleans, like witchy supernatural shows.
Oh, Bianca Lawson is in it.
I'm not even sure who that is, to be honest.
She played one of the witches, one of Bonnie's ancestors.
Wait, what? Bianca who?
Lawson.
How do I spell that? I'm sorry.
Lawson.
Oh. Oh yeah, she is. She plays Bonnie's ancestors too?
Mm-hmm.
I don't recognize her from that. I don't know why.
She's been in like everything.
Yeah, she is. Damn. You're right.
Oh, Hemlock Grove, if you've ever seen that. I haven't watched it, but there's a clip, like, their werewolf transformation is one of the most painful transformations I've ever seen.
Yeah?
Oh, you have got to just look it up on, look at the clip on YouTube. Hemlock Grove werewolf transformation. Oh, painful.
Hemlock Grove. Oh, well, but not right now. I'm gonna type it in though.
Yeah, like their skin literally like peels off of them.
Oh, that sounds brutal. I think I would rather my bones break.
Yeah.
I think The Secret Circle was a really good TV show too, and I think that's why I loved when Haley came on.
Yeah. I never watched that either, but a lot of people talk about that as well.
I like the books better than the show. Yeah, and maybe that's how I'll feel if I listen to The Vampire Diary.
And then, so I also remember when my oldest was like a toddler, we started to watch H2O or and Mako Mermaids, whatever it was.
No, it's H2O.
And then, yep. Yep. So, and then you got Rebecca and Haley, who both played on the show, and I was like, oh my god.
I love that they're besties in real life. Like,
oh. Yeah, me too. Also, once, this is back on season 2, but like, when Stefan gets trapped in that tomb, and he tells Damon to protect her, and Catherine's just like, that's the worst mistake you ever made. It's the most real statement that I've ever even fucking heard.
Well, yeah, because I don't think in that time he really made a move on her, but Damon did protect her and he was there for her, and I think that's when like she kind of started to forgive him, and they got kind of close.
Damon definitely made her. Damon was like making moves on her season one, trying to get her to compel to kiss him, and then he realized that she had Ravine. Damon was like, from the beginning, this is our girlfriend, Stefan. That's the vibes he gives.
Oh, I fucking love Damon. I just fucking love him. I do too.
He's great. Who do you like better though, Damon or Klaus? Gotta know.
Kayla, I've told you to stop asking me that question. No, I didn't. I mean, no. If it comes down to it, I'm entering into our why choose relationship with Damon and Klaus. And that's that.
Yeah, it's Klaus for me every day, all day.
Same.
Klaus is hot. You know, I love when he calls people love and, you know, sweetheart, and he's hilarious and evil and dark. And, but I just fucking love Damon. I just love him. I can't
he's
help
He's funny.
It.
They're Wait, both funny. But
would Klaus be as hot if he didn't have the accent?
No.
Nope.
When he does in season three, when he like starts saying like, "What happened? I thought you Southern folk." He's like in an English accent, like an American accent, and I'm just like, "That ain't right." Goodbye.
But Damon with an English accent.
Damon's just fucking funny.
He is funny.
I think so.
He's been like watching his other shows now.
Yeah. But I think I'm going to end this here, guys. I appreciate you guys for being here and doing this twice with me.
Thank you for having me again.
I'm pretty tired.
I am too. Pretty sure I was tired like 45 minutes ago.
I'm sorry. I do want to say one thing quick about Catherine. How, like, her backstory. I like how she was, like, originally from, like, not Bulgaria, but they use, like, Nina Dobrev's background to give her a background from Bulgaria. She was originally from Germany in the books, and they made it work with Nina. So I really like that aspect of it. I wanted to mention that.
I do too.
Yeah. I feel like if they had kept it the other way around, the acting and the story might not have been as good.
Yeah, I think that, like, and she could speak the language natively, so it was pretty cool. They use her for, like, an airline now, for, like, an airline commercial in Bulgaria.
Yeah, no, she actually does like an interview about that, and it's hilarious.
Is it? I haven't seen it. I'll have to watch it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, she's like, oh, I've done this and I've played on these TV shows, but my real dream has finally come true. I get to, you know, something for the air. I forget exactly what she said, but it was so funny. If you just like look it up on TikTok or something, if you'll look at it, you'll see it.
Okay. I will. Well, thank you guys again for coming. I love that you guys were here. I appreciate you so much.
Thanks for having me.